Well, we've been looking at counting on God to lead and guide us, and I finished the session 2 weeks ago on, and I just want to remind us on this and then do one final thing, but that it is very important in all the areas that we've talked about to not let yourself get discouraged by the biblical perspective, but to remember two things. Number one, whatever failures we have, God will fully forgive you if you will agree with Him. See, truth is not to intimidate us. Truth is to cause us to know how to respond to God. And the minute you agree with God about truth and really are genuine, not holding back anything, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So you've got to believe that. We mentioned about the need to have the clean heart. Know you've got the clean heart. Because if Satan can't get you to ignore the Word of God, he's going to get you to be intimidated by the Word of God and cause you to feel introspective and get down. Ever been there? It's very easy. Conviction should lead to freedom. It should not lead to bondage. Second major point is the fact that it never is us, it's always God that wins the victory. So if you look at yourself and your own weakness and your own maybe set of failures in the past, you are going to find yourself paralyzed for the future. But if you'll claim the clean heart and whatever subject we've talked about, we're going to review some of those, you realize that's really a description of Christ. Do you realize every truth we've been over is Jesus Christ? So when I allow Him to live His life through me, then I can do those very things that I feel like I've been a failure in. And I can supernaturally have in my life those qualities that God wants. Now what I just said to you in 2 minutes is, it's so important. Clean heart and a total dependence upon Jesus Christ. That's the Christian life. And so I always, as a pastor, am very sensitive to the fact that when I preach or I teach and I hold up a biblical standard, that if I do not teach grace and I do not teach God's wonderful forgiveness and the fact that God will enable you, people then will look at it and they'll come out with a human discouragement rather than a triumphant, this is the way God can change my life. So that is very pivotal, what I just talked to you about there. And so therefore, it's time to move forward. Do not be entrapped by past failure. How many here have failed? How many say, I've failed too many times? Okay, join the club. This is the failure club. Yeah, you all are card-carrying members of the failure club from a human standpoint. But if you know the Lord, you can be more than a conqueror through Christ that loved us. So what a tremendous thing. So you can be part of the conqueror's club at the same time. Did you know the more you know you're a failure, the more you can be a conqueror? The more you think you're somebody, the less of a conqueror you're going to be. Because you're going to be depending on yourself and you're going to fail. So your weakness, God chose as what? Strength. It's a wonderful thing. Honestly, there are moments you get sort of overwhelmed. Okay, good. I need to be overwhelmed because I can't do it. I'm going to though stop looking at myself and start looking at God. And now I can do it. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Ladies, very, very important truths, and I'm giving to you really fast, but very important. So it's time, as she says, to move on and know that God has forgiven you and He will work in your life. And continue to press toward the mark. I preached on that Sunday morning. And realize that someday you're going to see Him and it's all about glorifying Him and get freed up in your life. It's not about people approving of you. It's about you making God know, making people know through your life that God is a great God. It's not about you being approved of. You want God to be approved of. It's all about him. It's all about others. That's where the freedom in life comes. Anytime you ever have a problem, it's because you're focused on yourself. And that's a lot of the things that we talked about. So do claim his forgiveness and claim the Christ-like. She lists there at the very end here, God's guidelines for counting on God to lead you. Let me just read these. Always remember that you are known and loved by God. You are not forgotten. Satan loves to come along and say, he doesn't really care about you. You're too big a failure. There's really no hope for you. You know, God's so big, who are you? That's never God. God loves you intensely, personally, and is involved in your life, every little aspect of it. Remember, before you were formed in the womb, he said, I knew you. It's just an amazing, amazing thought. Remember that Jesus Christ died for you. Never forget that. You know, you can sometimes say, you know, nobody loves me. Well, that ain't true, okay? All you have to do is think about the cross, and there is no greater love than the cross, exhibited by anything than the cross. It is an unbelievable reality. And it's not that he just proved his love through the cross. He is, because of the cross, able to meet every one of those needs that you're burdened about. There's not a thing in your life that can't be dealt with. Thirdly, always remember you are accepted by God through his Son. You find that to the praise of his glory, accepted by the Beloved. Ephesians 1, verse 6 says we are accepted in the Beloved. And ladies, once you trust Christ, when God the Father sees you, he sees you in the positional righteousness of Jesus Christ. And you are actually in him at the right hand of the Father spiritually, and you are a child of God. In fact, it is amazing, and you often hear me say it, that term joint heir is an amazing concept. When we get to heaven, we are going to be treated even by the angelic hosts in the same way Jesus Christ is treated, except that we're not deity. But the respect because of our position in Christ will be there. It's just beyond what I can explain to you. But that's who we are now. Quit thinking of yourself on a low level. Yeah, we are nothing. Like I said, we're all part of the failure club. But in Christ, we're children of the King. And you got a purpose. You got a life to live that's very, very important. Nobody here is unimportant. And you got to believe these things. You know, you say, well, I theologically believe that. Well, that's good, but you got to do more than that. You got to really believe it, okay? Can't just be a creed. It's got to be, this is for me. And then I've already touched on this. Always remember that you are complete in Christ. All the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Christ. And we find in Colossians 2, 9 and 10, we are complete in him. He's head over all principality and power. And so this is amazing, because he is complete. Every moment I am allowing him to work, I am complete at that moment. And my life can be perfected. You know, we just think, well, you know, I'm just a whatever. Wrong perspective. We need to realize that our potential, your potential, is just amazing. There was a dear man that I worked for that was in our church. He was a leader in our church. But then he began to just fail with his wife, and it's a long story, and his children. And he was in his 80s. Now, I'm a younger preacher, probably. I was several years into the ministry, so I'm just in my mid-20s preaching. And I preached a message on what God can do in Christ, and you know, how he can work and how he can change your family and all. And of course, it's always hard when people are older and have had a lot of difficulties to be able to preach something like that. Well, I'll never forget, he came forward. And I was standing down there, and he grabbed my hand, and with tears and conviction, he told me, it's never too late. Christ can do it. And I've not done right, but I am going to do right now. And I mean, I was deeply moved. You know, he was 60 years my elder. And so I prayed with him. Did you know what? He won his wife back. And his kids in his 80s. complete in Him. You got the power of the universe. God Almighty behind you when you're fully linked up with Him. It's an exciting thing, and you need to believe that. You know, when you look at yourself, but you look at God, that's why you've got to spend time with God. That's why you've got to be thorough in the Word of God, because the more you know about Him and the more He reveals Himself through His Word and just touches your life, the more you are convinced that He is able to do that work. And then, on the practical side, the final thing she mentions here is always remember you're a work in progress, okay? And will one day in Christ, in heaven, be perfect, okay? Don't compare yourselves with others. Compare yourself with the Word of God and be thankful for the victories that you have today. But just realize that you, even though you can have the full power of God today, you're still growing. More knowledge you need. More understanding, more experience, more development of character. All of those things will happen, and they can happen rapidly if you're walking in Him. But be thankful for today. I've always said, have a wonderfully peaceful sense of where you're not satisfied. You say, that's really weird, peaceful and not satisfied. When you're right with God, you can have the peace of God. But I'm still reaching forth to those things which are before. So I realize I've got a long way to go, but I sure am thankful for what God has done. That's what you got to do. And be at peace, yet don't get fooled into thinking you've arrived. Whenever you think you've arrived, you ain't. That's just a good, not good English, but it is a good rule of thumb for that. All right, keeping that in mind, we have finished the book, sort of, and how long have we been at this, Mrs. Allen? 1 year? Yeah. Oh, they really covered a lot of things. So let me just take a look at the different topics. And your table time is going to be, first of all, on the forgiveness and being in complete in Christ. I want you to talk about that. That's not on the sheet, but then sort of a review here. So the first one is where the last one ended. Your life can be beautiful. Do you believe that? You know, I talk to folks and I humanly can't blame them. But I'll have ladies that I counsel will say, you know, Pastor, my life is just a bummer and it's never going to be different. Well, I'll agree with the first part. It's a problem. But I don't agree with the second part. Everyone can have the beautiful joy of knowing Christ and seeing God work and living a life of miracles. Some of the happiest and most productive people I've ever met are those with situations I would never want to be in. I tell you what, I come out of counseling times groaning sometimes. People are oftentimes find themselves in really tough situations. But I know that those can be very happy, contented Christians if they'll look to the Lord. So I believe that. Do you believe that? Do you believe your life can be beautiful? And then we looked at making right choices. What's the biblical term for a life of choices? There's an action word. Very simple. It's used over and over in the New Testament. I'll give you a hint. Somebody said it. Who was it? Walk. All right, very good. Walk. It's the steps of faith that we take. You don't make one leap. Now, when you really surrender to the Lord, it seems like a big leap because you go from a carnal life to a spirit-empowered life. But the progress forward is step-by-step choices of faith. And that's why when you meet with the Lord in the morning and the Spirit of God is working in your heart, you are ready through His wisdom. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. He will guide you and He will enable you to know what the Bible says about these matters. And you know, every time you make a faith step, you're that much farther down the road of spiritual maturity, growth, and victory. And so remember, choices because you're discouraged, wrong direction. Choices because you're caving into the flesh, wrong direction. Choices made because you're bitter and upset, always regretting, you'll regret those. So be very careful about that. And then remember, we got to meddling, getting a jump on your day, getting up early. Remember that? My, it was tense in here. No, it wasn't. And we talked about the importance of getting ready the night before, getting a loud alarm clock. You remember that? And it was so nice that she said all that. I didn't have to say it. But she is right. Start right and changes everything. Now, at any point in the day, you can get right with the Lord. But I'm telling you, you just start and you get up late and you're not planned. And, you know, the first couple hours, you're just barely making it. The whole day is stressful. But if you get up when you should, spend time with the Lord, have got basic things that you know are God's will for that day and are looking forward to what God has for you, have a song on your heart, changes everything. You know, you may have just as hard a day, but it'll be a good day in a bad day. Don't be a victim of circumstances. Get a jump on your day. Fanning the flame of your heart and how important it is to live a life in which you are excited. You know, there are times you get excited. You're going to go on a, you're going to get to go on an outing, or there's something you're going to get, that you've been wanting to get in your home, or you're looking forward to spending some time with some people that you know, and you get excited about that. Well, your whole life should be one of anticipation. I get to serve the Lord today. I'm alive today, and these are opportunities, and there should just be that lift in your heart, and you can live that way. And that's why you've got to spend time with the Lord. Powering up for a great day. All of this is talking about being in the Word, allowing the Holy Spirit to work, and getting a good perspective on your life. And you can. By the way, that can be solved today. You can say, you know, I've slipped a little bit. Well, just get right back to it. Read those chapters. Get yourself encouraged again, because honestly, how you start and the perspective. Do you have a song on your heart right now? This morning, I mean, wasn't even thinking about this song, and it just came over me early in the morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Each verse kept rolling over, and it's just exciting. And all of a sudden, God, the Holy Spirit's actually, He sings, you know. He gets you to singing, and all of a sudden He pulls you into the presence of the Lord even when you're doing something else. And so it is important. Nurture your heart and make choices that'll make a difference. And we want to live like Jesus, making most of your time. Another area we got to meddling a little bit. Time management. Using your time. Right priorities. We make a lot of choices. That's that walk, making the right choices. Breaking your worry habit. Anxiety is a habit. It's a coping mechanism. And just reminding you of some of these things. Be anxious for about 25% of your life. Is that what it says? Be anxious or careful for nothing. Now, are you going to get uptight sometimes? Sure. You're going to get uptight. But are you to allow yourself to continue that way? No. The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And that's right now. If I let the Spirit of God control, I can have His peace. And you really can't. Did you know your whole body can relax if you'll stop? Listen, learn to take 1 to 5 minute times in your day. Stop, sit down, think of who God is, realize I need to cast these things on the Lord. I don't need to be just constantly like this. I've got to let the peace of God come. And if you can learn to short circuit worry, wow. Managing your friendships, we talked about that. And friendships are to be a blessing. You need, of course, to have the right kinds of friends. Now, there are two types of people that will be in your life that you interact with. There'll be those that will impact you positively, in which they are spiritual, godly people that are taking you to the right place spiritually. Those are people you can open your heart to and be vulnerable with. There are other people that you're ministering to, and they have needs, and if you treat them, or if your heart is as open to them in the vulnerable way, in the sense that you need their friendship, then you can be pulled down by them rather than bringing them up. Very important. You're either being ministered to or you are ministering. Be careful, because the wrong kind of friends. You see, those that we allow into the inner sanctum of our life have got to be people that love Jesus, who are having victory and can draw us forward. But does that mean we just reject people that have needs? No. We should minister to them, but we don't have to have their approval. Does that make sense? We want them to come to know the Lord. We want them to learn truth. We want to love them and all, but be very careful who you allow to influence you. And by the way, it's not just people that you see. It's you get on that internet and you can be influenced. As you know, there is so much stuff said on Facebook and things that is not edifying. You cannot counsel someone through Facebook. If you're going to minister to someone, do it personally. And be very careful about reading stuff, because you have no idea if it's true or not, and it can drag you down. Be very careful. This is a big, big deal today. And by the way, that will not meet your need for a friendship. It is amazing. I don't have the stats at hand. Just read them a couple of weeks ago. Again, they did. The loneliest teenage generation in the history of America is the Z generation right now. And yet they have all this Facebook and all the other ones that they get on. They're not necessarily on Facebook. And it's not meeting. It's isolating them. They never get out. They don't have real friendships. And I'm telling you, a lot of young mothers don't. And technology is no substitute for genuine godly friendships. That's why you're wise. That's why we call this face-to-face. Okay? We actually have personal contact, and it is important. Keeping watch over what you say. We can really hurt our spiritual lives and hurt others if it takes us down. You want to have the right kind of joy in your home. If you're married, keep a watch over what you say. Be edifying. Children, never, never, never allow corrupt communication to proceed out of your mouth. There should be a touch of heaven in your home because of the power of God on your tongue. It should be edifying, uplifting, encouraging, honest, ability to connect, all of those things we looked at. And it's so important, and with other people. And then for you ladies, keep expanding your mind. Keep learning, keep growing. There is a tendency to get stuck. Did you know that your brain, if you don't keep learning, you will start having a harder time learning. And that's why I would read the right kind of things, learn things, be in courses. Those of you that are members here at Falls, you once each semester, you can audit a college course here. That's a privilege that we give you. And I challenge folks, do it and take the tests and everything, even though you're not worried about the credits. Expand your mind, and it's really tremendous, you know. Never taken piano, 50 years old, did you know you can become a pretty decent pianist? It's going to be a lot harder than a little kid doing it, but it'll expand your mind. You know, it's just amazing. You've heard of folks in their 80s getting their PhDs. Not that they're going to use it, but it's just good for them, you know. And when folks don't use their mind, they begin to lose it, okay. And folks, at the best, the top person in this room using their mind, it's only 20% of your brain is being used. You've got so much capacity, it's not even funny. It's tremendous. So we talked a lot about that. And then practicing your priorities 1 and 2. I can't even begin to go into that. You've got to do first things first. You do the important first things, the small things get done. That is a rule of thumb. Never do the small stuff first. You'll never have enough time for the big things. Whenever you say, I'm too busy, I'm stressed out, I don't have enough time, it's a priority problem, not a time problem. Did you hear me? You are doing the wrong things first. Your best energy, and usually it's earlier in the day, should all be on things that that you wouldn't, it's not like they're pressing on you, but they're part of developing your children, developing yourself, doing things for God. You do those things first, and then all those details that just are pressing on you, you'll get them done. In fact, when you're encouraged about what you've accomplished, it's just a piece of cake to get. And you can do more in 1 hour than you can do in 3 hours when you're just feeling like I'm getting nothing done. So we talked a lot about that. And then counting on God to lead you is the final thought we had here. So the thing I want to leave you with on this study is no one here should leave this study with the idea that, well, my life is inferior. That's very important. The same beauty of life that God has for someone else can be yours, because what makes it beautiful? The Lord Jesus Himself. Everyone has an access to Him. Everyone has potential. Everyone can have each problem dealt with. There is no end to what can be done. You're equally loved. You have all the resources that you need. It's all our own perspective. And those choices to believe that my life really can count. And you start believing that, I am forgiven, this is what I started with, and I am forgiven and I can live the life of Christ. When you actually believe it, every day gets exciting. Every day is an adventure. Every day has potential. Every day has meaning. Every day has eternal consequences. Rather than surviving, feeling bad about yourself, getting yourself in your own little box, you just can't let that happen. Tempting, isn't it? That survival mentality. So anyway, that was a quick review, but I hope it brought back some of the things that we talked about. Years, a long time, and of course, many of you weren't at a number of those sessions. But if you don't have the book, by the way, we have a few more left. We'll have the books by Marty Collier here next week, and you can purchase those if you would like. But if you don't have this book, you might just want to, after being in some of these sessions, go back and read it. Because she says it like a woman says it. I say it like a man says it, like a preacher. So you'll get insight from her that she didn't quite get from me, and I trust I've given insight that she didn't give. And if you do have the book, why don't you read it sooner and later again? And just let that truth. Don't lose truth. You know, you go to a seminar, you go to a preaching conference. Very important to take good notes. And a lot of our people here will sit down and right after a conference, we'll listen to the whole thing again. Very wise. Because it's like drinking at a fire hydrant, you know. You got wet, but you can't remember what all it was about, you know. You were blessed by a few things. But if you listen carefully, or if you read carefully, then you can really allow those truths to go into your heart. So I asked Mrs. Allen that this final time, and that's what you have on the sheet. I didn't look at it about some of the review there.
Yes, I asked them to share the things that the Lord has given you.
Good. So I'll let you continue on. And what will happen is everybody around the table will have a different thing. You'll remember this or you'll remember that truth, and it'll just help you, I think, reinforce it. So don't miss next week. We'll get started. Let me get the name of that again. What do I know about my God? I started about the fact you got to know God. And this will really be practical and helpful for you. So we'll look forward to that next week.